Bibles, go with me this morning to two places, Genesis chapter 12 and Hebrews chapter 11. Genesis chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Last week we began a study on the life of Abraham. Abraham is one of the most significant characters to ever walk across the stage of human history. He's the founder of great nations. The three largest faiths in the world trace their spiritual lineage back to this one man. He's called in several places in Scripture the friend of God. He's a significant character in the Bible and a significant character in human history. But there's one attribute in his life that set him apart in the mind of the New Testament writers. Whenever they wrote about the man Abraham, they wrote about this one characteristic. That characteristic is his faith. Paul wrote about his faith in Romans chapter 4 and Galatians chapter 3. James wrote about his faith in James chapter 2. And he's given the longest section by far in Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrews Hall of Faith. So we could say it this way, Abraham is the gold standard when it comes to faith. Now there have been many definitions given to faith over the years. Some have said that faith is the soul's confidence in Christ. That's a good definition. Augustine said that faith is to believe what we do not see in order that we might see what we believe. I like that. There's a modern day preacher and author, though, who has come up with my favorite definition of faith. He says faith is simply acting like God is telling the truth. I like that. It's acting like God is telling the truth. I like that definition because faith isn't about feelings. It's about actions I take in response to settled facts. Not feelings, facts. If God has given me His word on something, it really doesn't matter how I feel about it. If I have faith, I'll act on it. If I don't, I won't. And ladies and gentlemen, this is so important. Because the Christian life is a faith life. God has designed the Christian life in such a way that it is impossible to live without faith. The writer said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The real Christian life is a faith life. And Abraham was the kind of man that when he had God's word on a matter, it was settled, he obeyed, and he stepped out by faith. And that's the kind of action we need to take this morning. Today what we're going to read in Genesis chapter 12 is a rather unremarkable passage of Scripture. In fact, when we read it, you're going to wonder how I got a whole sermon from it. But then we're going to see some New Testament commentary that's going to make it come alive. I want you to look at Genesis chapter 12. We're going to begin our reading in verse 4. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the plain of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai or Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. The verbs of this passage really tell the story. Abram departed. Abram took his wife. They went forth into the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land. He built an altar. He removed from thence. He pitched a tent. He built another altar. He journeyed on. That doesn't seem like a hallmark passage on faith, does it? I mean, the walls of Jericho aren't exactly falling down. The children of Israel aren't passing through the Red Sea on dry ground. Abram moved around a lot. He pitched his tent and built some altars. What's so remarkable about that? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 11, at the New Testament commentary on the passage we just read. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You can tell the story of Abraham's faith through three statements we read, one in verse 8, one in verse 9, and one in verse 10. In verse 8, we read, he went out. Faith involves leaving. In verse 9, we read that he sojourned. He lived as a pilgrim and a traveler. Faith involves living. And then in verse 10, we read, he looked for a city. Faith involves looking. So a leaving, a living, a looking. Let's look first of all, at a leaving. He said, by faith, Abram departed. This goes back to what we said last week. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, Abram had heard a call. Remember the call that came to him? Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, unto thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I want you to think about this for a minute. God shows up one day and says, Abraham, I want you to leave your home. How many of you kind of like your house? Abraham, I want you to leave your job. Anybody in here like your job? Abraham, I want you to leave your culture, leave your country, and yes, even leave your family and go to a place that I'm going to tell you about. I'm not going to tell you about it now, but one day I will. You just leave. Folks, isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life? Abram's supposed to pack up everything he owns, set out in the desert, and he doesn't even know where he's going. God didn't tell him anything. He didn't give him any of the details. All he told him was that he had to leave. Now don't forget, Abram had it made in Ur of the Chaldees. He had it made in Haran. Those were large cities, places of safety and security. You know, in Ur and in Haran, everybody liked Abraham. He had a reputation there. He knew people. Those were modern metropolitan cities where a prosperous man like Abraham could have all the niceties that modern life in that day could afford. But they were also the centers of worship for his old pagan gods. You remember that from last week? And so the call from God is pretty clear here. And by the way, this is a call that all of us have. Abraham, leave the safe for the risky. Leave the known for the unknown. Leave the comfortable for the uncomfortable. Leave a life of self-dependence where you don't need me for a life of God-dependence where you can't survive without me. Leave the life of sight and enter into the life of faith. You see what God's telling Abraham? Abraham, if you're going to live for me and you're going to live by faith, you have to trust where I'm taking you even when I'm not telling you. You see, we want God to lay it all out for us, don't we? We want God to tell us exactly where he's taking us so we can figure out whether we want to make the journey or not. Folks, that's not faith, that's sight. We say to God, God, I'll take a mission trip if you want me to, but only if I know how I'm going to have the money, and only if you guarantee that I'll be safe for every moment, and only if someone promises I won't have to have a shot. God, you lay it all out for me and make sure I won't be uncomfortable, and then I'll tell you if I'm going to do it. That's not how the life of faith operates. God, I'll start giving by faith when I have a little extra money in the bank. Listen to me, folks. It's not faith if you have extra money in the bank. Do you got that? God, I'll start witnessing. I'll show up for soul winning if you can promise me that no one will ever slam a door in my face. No one will ever reject me. Everybody will be kind, and everybody I talk to will get saved. Friend, that's not faith. Faith means trusting God. Faith means trusting where He's taking you, even when He's not telling you. That's faith. We want it all laid out. You will never know where God can take you until you're willing to leave where you are. You'll never know where God can take you until you're willing to leave where you are. What motivated Abraham to leave it all? This is interesting. In verse 8, we read that he went out for an inheritance. You remember? Attached to this call to leave everything came an incredible promise. God had promised Abraham a land, a seed, and a blessing, and Abraham wanted to possess it. Can I say it this way, folks? Abraham had a destiny. And his destiny in Canaan was far greater than his destiny in Ur of the Chaldees. The life that he had ahead of him was far greater than the life he was called to leave behind. God had something better for Abram than life in Ur of the Chaldees. But listen, he can't have it until he leaves. No leaving, no covenant. No leaving, no nation. No leaving, no Isaac. I have some incredible things in store for you, Abraham, but first, you've got to step out by faith. Listen to me today. God has an incredible destiny for every follower of Christ that's in this room. And I can promise you from the authority of God's word that the destiny ahead of you is far greater than anything that's behind you. In the Christian life, the best is yet to come. And I want to ask you a question. Is what God has for you in the future more important to you than where you are now? Because listen, to get to your destiny, to get to the place where He wants you to be, to get to the place of promise and blessing, you're going to have to live by faith. And you're going to have to be convinced that what's ahead of you is far greater than where you are. When I was in the fifth grade, I got caught up in a game that was sweeping the nation during the 90s. It was called Pog. How many 90s kids in here remember the game of Pog? And the rest of you are just looking at us like we're crazy. For you old timers, it was a lot like the old milk cap game, if you remember that. Pogs were circular pieces of cardboard, and you won by flipping them over with heavy pieces of metal called slammers. It was a play for keeps game. That's why I loved it. So if you were good at Pog, you carried around these large tubes of these cardboard pieces that you had won from the other kids. I played a lot of Pog. I practiced it at my house. I thought about it night and day. I was the best player in my grade at my school. I remember one day I took a kid's whole collection of Pogs and it made him cry. Let me tell you something. If you're in the fifth grade and you made a boy cry, you are the man. One day we were in the fifth grade getting ready to play our Pogs. And the other boys didn't want to play. They were probably tired of getting owned, if I had to guess. They started shooting hoops. Started playing ball. They started getting caught up in it. And no one wanted to play Pog anymore. One day in the fifth grade, you know what a little boy did? He put a basketball in my hands. And if you know me, you know I love basketball. I'm passionate about basketball. When they put that basketball in my hands and I started to shoot, I decided I wanted to go out for the team. And here's what I noticed. My desire to play Pog decreased, and my desire for basketball increased. I found that basketball was a lot better than flipping pieces of cardboard. And after a while, I found I wasn't playing Pogs at all because my love was growing in a new direction, and I put away that old plaything. Can I say something to you today? Unless you believe that God has a basketball, you'll never stop flipping cardboard. Unless you believe that where God is taking you is infinitely better than what you can have in the world, What you can have in Ur, what you can have in Haran, you'll never walk by faith. Listen to me this morning. God knows where He wants to take you. But if you're ever going to get where He wants to take you, you have to believe that the destiny in front of you is better than what's behind you. You have to trust where God's taking you, even when He's not telling you, because what's ahead of you is better than what's behind you. That's the life of faith. Abram was willing to leave. God's not going to lay it all out for you, but I can promise you this, Canaan is better than Ur. I remember sitting in a chair in the eighth grade at the Wilds of the Rockies Christian camp. A wild man was preaching that night, Dr. Tom Farrell. He was preaching a message entitled God's Manhunt. And he said God was looking for a man, someone's life who He could use to do His work in this world. And I felt a burning in my heart that night. A burning to preach the gospel, a burning to be involved in the Lord's work. But let me tell you something, there was a struggle. They called for the invitation that night and they wanted all the young men who were surrendering to ministry to go up the stairs. Here's what I knew, none of the other boys I was sitting with were going forward. Here's what I knew, if I walked up those stairs, I was going to surrender my right to live my life any way I wanted. That's a big decision for an eighth grade boy to make. I didn't know what God was going to do with my life. I didn't have any idea. All I knew is that God was calling me to leave something and to risk something by faith for Him. Let me tell you something. If God would have told me that I'd get to spend 8 years under Dr. Willie Weaver, I would have walked up those stairs no problem. If He would have showed me a picture of my wife who I met at Bible college, I would have been up there, and probably so would some of the other boys too. If He would have told me I'd get to be the pastor of the great historic Worth Baptist Church at 32 years of age, I couldn't have run up those stairs fast enough. I had no idea the great plans God had for my life. I had no idea He'd have such a wonderful destiny for me. All I knew was that He was calling me to take a step by faith, and by God's grace, I took it. We can't see God's destiny. All we see is the step, but faith always involves leaving the comfortable for the uncomfortable, the safe for the risky, where you are for where He wants you to be. By faith He left. By faith He left. My guess is God's calling some of us to leave some things today. Faith always involves a leaving. Not only does it involve a leaving, it requires a living. Look again at what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 9. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that means tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You see, folks, faith isn't always that big drastic moment where I get called into ministry. Faith isn't that big drastic moment where I leave for Bible college or where you come and cry tears at an altar. Faith sometimes is a day-by-day long obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. When Abram left Ur to eventually head down to Canaan, it required a trip of almost 900 miles across the desert. Those weren't glamorous steps. But I like what it said in Genesis chapter 12. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. They set out for something and they got there. He left by faith and he got where God wanted him to go. It took a lot of faith for Abram to leave his old life. But it's also going to take a lot of faith for him to live in his new life. You got that? Their initial journey was substantial. But it's only the first leg in a life lived by faith. Abram travels 900 miles from Ur to Canaan, but he is going to travel thousands of miles as he sojourns in the land of Canaan, picking up his tent and moving a little bit and setting it back down and picking it up and moving a little bit and departing and going and journeying and leaving and passing through. It was only the beginning. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life isn't just a few big decisions. The Christian life is a daily life where we, by faith, make a daily long obedience in God's direction. Amen. Would you write this down? The faith life is a pilgrim life. It's a pilgrim life. I don't mean that the folks in this story wore buckles on their hats. That's not the kind of pilgrim I'm talking about. According to the dictionary, a pilgrim is a person who journeys, a traveler or wanderer in a strange land. It says here that Abram sojourned in the land of promise, as if it was a strange land. Abram left Haran when he was 75 years old. He will die at 175 years old. He's going to spend the next 100 years of his life living in a tent. Can you imagine? I'm good living in a tent for a day or two. Maybe a week at the longest, at the absolute longest. But after that, I'm ready for a hot shower and a soft mattress. I'm ready for home. Abram lived the rest of his life as a nomad, as a traveler just passing through. And I see in his experience in Canaan a beautiful picture of what the Christian's life by faith is in this world. F.B. Meyer called Abraham in a wonderful chapter, the first of the pilgrim fathers. And here's what he wrote. All through the history of mankind, there has been a little band of men in a sacred and unbroken succession who have confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. They're distinguished by their simpler dress, their girded loins, their restrained appetites, their loose hold on gold, their independence of the maxims and opinions and applause of the world around them. And for the faraway look, which time and time again gleams in their eyes, the certain evidence of affections centered not on the transitory things of time and earth, but on the eternal realities which, lying beneath the veil of the visible, are only revealed to faith. He said, these are the pilgrims. The life of faith is so fittingly symbolized by a tent and by a traveler, because the life of faith never gets too attached to this passing world. Faith knows that this world is passing away. Faith knows that this world is not all there is. Faith knows that we are only pilgrims passing through. Faith knows that we should hold the people and the possessions of this life loosely, because we cannot keep them. It says, by faith he sojourned. Would you listen to me this morning? That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. You're not going to live in Fort Worth, Texas forever. You're not going to live at your home in your neighborhood forever. Where you are today is but a passing moment compared to where God has for you for all of eternity. All we are travelers and sojourners, and we don't get to stay here long. You know what Abram did? He pitched his tent. But listen, he built his altars. He built an altar. He pitched a tent. What does that mean? It means that he didn't put a lot of stock in the earthly. He put all his eggs in the eternal basket. He held loosely to eternal things, or to earthly things, excuse me. He held tightly to eternal things. The faith life is a life that holds very loosely to the things that are passing and very tightly to the things that last. It's a pilgrim life. It doesn't get too attached. It knows it's passing through. The faith life is not only a pilgrim life, the faith life is a patient life. If you get the idea that when Abram and his caravan came riding into Canaan that there was some kind of parade waiting for them, you've got the wrong picture, friends. It said in Genesis chapter 12, we read it, that there were Canaanites living in the land. They far outnumbered Abram. If you get the idea that Sarah got pregnant the day they walked into Canaan, you've got the wrong idea. Abram's 75 years old when he gets there. He's going to be 100 before they get Isaac. He's going to spend 25 years waiting on God. God did not spend 25 years getting Isaac ready for Abraham. Do you know that? How long did it take God to get Isaac ready for Abraham? Only about 9 months. God spent 25 years getting Abraham ready for Isaac. Don't miss this. In between his departure and his destiny, there had to be some development. Abram needed to grow. And the faith life is a patient life. Here's where a lot of people give up on the life of faith. They're stuck between the departure and the destiny. They make a decision to start tithing, but they don't immediately see the financial blessings that they were anticipating, so they give up. But if you give up, you'll never get the blessing that will inevitably come your way because you cannot outgive God, and you'll lose the opportunity to have your faith developed and strengthened in the meantime. There's a single here who makes a decision to live in purity. She's not going to hook up. She's not going to shack up. She's going to wait on God's choice. But a few years go by, and all of her friends are getting married, and she's so lonely on Friday and Saturday nights. Listen to me, don't give up. You know what God is doing? He's developing you. And He's going to bring Mr. Right into your life when you are ready for Mr. Right. In the meantime, He's getting you ready. There's an addict in the room this morning. And you've made the decision that you're going to rely on your faith in God for your recovery. That's the right decision. You're not going to take some of the other shortcuts that other folks take and just trade one addiction for another addiction. You believe that one day God is going to give you the total victory, but there are some struggles in the journey. It's taken longer than you thought it would. Those old cravings seem so strong. Listen to me this morning. The pain and struggle you're feeling is not destroying you. They're developing you. And through faith, God is making you stronger than your struggles. But if you quit now, you'll never get to your destiny. See, there was a lot of time in between the departure and the destiny. And how many of you have experienced in your own personal life, there is a gap of time between God's promise to you and His performance of that promise? You ever experienced that? God promised you something and you had to wait a while before He carried it out. Do you know what you need in between the promise and the performance? Faith. Listen to what Paul said in Romans chapter 4. He said that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able to perform. Listen to me, in between the departure and the destiny, there's development. You get strong in faith. And do you know what happens when you're strong in faith between the promise and the performance? Listen, you give glory to God. That's what it said. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but as his faith was strengthening, through faith he gave glory to God. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest reward of the faith life is not an Isaac, it's not a Canaan. The greatest reward of the faith life is God himself. Amen. And it's in between the promise and the performance. It's when things are tough and your faith is being stretched, that's where you come to know the Lord in a great and mighty way. And that's where God makes himself real to you. And then, when the destiny comes, you'll be ready for it because your faith is strong. Faith involves a living. One more thing we need to notice. Faith involves a looking. I love verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Use your mind for a moment. What city is he talking about who has foundations, whose builder and maker is God? I love Fort Worth. He's not talking about Fort Worth. He's talking about heaven. Abram lived his life of faith looking for heaven. The word look there means to eagerly expect. Abraham lived every day eagerly expecting the blessings of heaven. Don't miss it. Here he is. He's left his country. He's left his kindred. He's left his people to come into a new land. When he got there, he had to live by faith. God's developing him for his destiny. And he's having to live between the promise and the performance. So let me ask you a question. How do you survive in life when Canaanites are all around you? How do you survive in life when you've been living in a tent and the promise seems so far away and your life is barren? Here's how you survive. You keep your mind on heaven. Abraham's affections weren't wrapped up on earth. They were wrapped up in eternity. Look at Hebrews 11 verses 13 through 16. It says these all, talking about Abraham and the patriarchs, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. In other words, listen, if their minds were on earth, if their minds were on Ur and on Haran, they would have gone back, but that's not where their minds were. Look at verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Here's the secret, folks, from the life of Abraham. If you'll learn to look at heaven, you'll be better on earth. If you'll learn to look at heaven and keep your eyes there, you'll be better on earth. I like to imagine and read between the lines some of the conversations that might have taken place in Abraham and his family. Perhaps after a few years of living in Canaan, Lot came to Abraham. I just get the picture, Lot was a complainer. Lot came to Abraham and he said, Uncle A, I'm tired of living in Canaan. I miss our country. I miss Mesopotamia. You know, we're strangers and foreigners here. We have funny accents and everybody looks at us strangely. Let's go back to our country. Abraham set him down, put his arm around him, and he said, Lot, I know you miss your country, but let me tell you about another country. Beyond the veil of the visible, there is another country, a heavenly country, and it's far better than Mesopotamia. Keep your eyes on heaven, Lot. You'll make it here on earth. Maybe on another occasion, Lot came to him and said, Uncle A, I'm getting really tired of living out here in the country. I miss the city life. I miss the beautiful buildings and the architecture. I miss the libraries, and I for sure miss the indoor plumbing. I'm missing that today too. Perhaps Abraham said to him, Lot, I know you miss the city, but we're living for a better city. A city built by God himself. And Lot, if the Lord could create all that you see here in only 6 days, can you even imagine how glorious is that city that he's been building for all of eternity? That's the city I'm living for, Lot, and you should too. But Uncle A, we live in tents. Every time it rains, I get wet. Every time the wind blows, my tent falls down. I sleep on the ground. Uncle A, you remember that big house we had in Haran? We had guest bedrooms and empty beds. You remember that house? I think Abraham may have said something like this. Lot, let me tell you something. I may live in a tent here, but I'll live in a mansion there. And my house in Haran is nothing compared to my house in heaven. Lot, keep your eyes on heaven. Living by faith is tough. It's hard. And we survive life on earth by keeping our eyes firmly fixed on heaven. Let me ask you, when was the last time you made a decision that didn't seem to make a lot of sense here because you knew it made a lot of sense there? That's faith. Pastor, how did Abraham do it? I don't have that kind of strong faith. How did Abraham keep his mind on heaven when so much was going wrong in his life on earth? You know how? Because everywhere he went, he pitched a tent and he built an altar. The altar made heaven real on earth. The altar was the place where he prayed. The altar was the place where he sacrificed. The altar was the place where he worshiped God. The altar was the place where he rededicated his life afresh and anew to heaven's purposes. The altar was the place where heaven was made real on earth. And I want to ask you a question today. Do you have an altar? Do you have a place and a time where you go and you open up this book where you spend time alone with God in prayer, where you worship God and rededicate yourself to God and learn to get your life in tune with God's priorities, where you say, God, I'm not trying to get my will done in heaven. I'm trying to get heaven's will done on earth. Do you have an altar? I'm convinced that one of the reasons we hold so tightly to the things of this earth, the reason we live for the temporary and the here and now, is that we have no altar where the priorities of heaven are becoming real to us on a daily basis. By faith, let's put things back in their proper order. Let's pitch our tents. Let's hold this life loosely. Let's build our altars. Let's hold tightly to eternity. Many of our folks are making their preparations to go on mission trips outside of the country. I thank God for that. You know, the first step in the process of going on a missions trip is to apply for a passport. If you have raised all the money and gone to all the training sessions and you don't have a passport, it really doesn't matter. You can go to all the sessions and raise all the money, but no passport, no entrance into another country. Would you listen to me this morning? If you want entrance into heaven, you need a passport. You don't get to go to heaven just because you want to go. You don't get to go to heaven just because you've worked to go. The passport that you need is called salvation by faith in Jesus Christ. You get into heaven by being saved by faith. And I want to ask every person in this room, do you have heaven's passport? Are you ever aware of a time and place in your life where you recognized you were a sinner and you could not save yourself? That Jesus came and died on a cross and 3 days later rose from the grave, and you were putting all of your soul's dependence, all of your soul's confidence, all of your faith, not in what you're doing to get to heaven, but in what heaven did to get to you. You ever turn from your sins and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you don't have heaven's passport. But you can have it today. And when you have a passport, you get in every time. Praise God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for how we've been challenged this morning by the life of a man of great faith. We know his faith started small, but that it grew through trials and tribulations and through a daily long obedience to you. Lord, my prayer for our folks is that you would develop their faith, that you would make them strong in faith, that you would give them hope that the things you have promised you will perform if they won't quit. If there's someone here this morning that has never by faith received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray that they will. I pray that they will leave this place absolutely certain that they're on their way to heaven because they've been saved by faith. In Jesus' name, would you keep your head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment? I want to make this very personal. For the next few moments, I'm not talking to the person beside you or the person behind you. I'm talking to you. Can I ask you a question? Would you think about it and consider it carefully? Are you absolutely certain that the moment you stand before the Lord, you will be admitted entrance into heaven? Are you absolutely positive that you've been saved the Bible way? Would you think about it? Would you consider it? How many of you with confidence could say before God and everyone, I know 100% for sure if I were to die today that I would go straight to heaven? I've been saved by faith. If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine and hold it up? I'm scanning the auditorium this morning. Would you hold it up? Oh, what a wonderful sight to see so many people that have been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. You may lower them. I've been looking around and I saw several people, maybe 10, 15, 20 people that didn't raise their hand this morning. How many of you would say, Pastor Gillett, I'm not sure I've been saved by faith, but I'd like to be sure. I'd like to know for sure that when I stand before the Lord, he's going to let me into glory. Pastor Gillett, would you please pray for me? If that's you and you couldn't raise your hand the first time, but you'd like to know for sure you're on your way to heaven, would you just lift your hand with mine? I want to pray for you. I'd like to be sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you hold it up? God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. I'm looking. Would you hold it up? Anybody else today? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. God bless you. I see that hand. I'm not sure I've ever been saved the Bible way. If you raised your hand, and only if you raised your hand, would you just look up at me? Salvation by faith is very simple. It's very simple. All it involves is calling on Christ and putting your faith in Him and asking Him to save you. Today, we'd like to guide you through that very simple process. It won't take long. We'd like to show you what God's Word has to say about it, and we'd like to give you that assurance today that you've been saved. Here in just a moment, we're going to have what we call an invitation. Everyone in this room is going to stand to their feet. People are going to begin coming to the front. I'd like to ask you just to meet me right up front. Every head will be bowed. Every eye will be closed. We'd not embarrass you or ask you to speak. We just want to pray with you and show you from God's Word how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. So when Brother Johnson begins to sing here in just a moment, would you come, put your faith in Jesus, leave here knowing you have heaven's passport. It'll be the greatest day you ever lived. I wonder how many of you Christians would say, Pastor Gillett, there's a step of faith God's been calling me to take. Maybe it's into ministry. Maybe it's a change in my family. Maybe it's something with my finances or with my job. But there's some step God has been after me for quite some time to take, and I have not as of yet had the faith to take it. But today I'd like to take it. I'd like to leave whatever I have to leave so I can live a life of faith. If that's you this morning and God has been dealing with you, would you raise your hand with mine? There's a step God wants me to take. I haven't taken it yet, but I know I need to. I want to start to live the faith life. God bless you. I wonder how many of you Christians would say today, Pastor Gillett, this truth of the altar has hit me hard. If I were to be honest, there is not in a real and regular and consistent way a time and place in my life where I open up my Bible and let God make Himself real to me. God's speaking to me about the altar, and I need to establish one. Pastor, would you pray for me? If that's you, would you lift your hand with mine? That's many of you. There have been many hands raised today, and we're going to ask you here in just a moment, whatever you've raised your hand for, to come. If you raised your hand and said you needed to be saved, this is your moment, this is your opportunity. Meet me right up front, and we'll show you from God's Word how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. And Father, thank you for what you're doing. Would you work in a great way over the next few moments of this invitation? Would you help the lost and saved alike to be people of faith, to do what you've called us to do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?